Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we come before you. We give you thanks. We know that all good things and all good gifts come from you. We pray, Father Yahweh, that what we do here in this ministry would be pleasing to you, along with what we do individually as believers here, that our lives would reflect the example set forth by your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. Father, help us to do your will, to become motivated, and to do our part, for we know that time is short and there's still much work to be done. Father, we give you all praise and all glory, and we dedicate this service to you. And we ask all of this in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah. You may all be seated. I have to excuse my voice today. I've been battling a bug now for over a week, and it has improved, but still not quite 100%. Well, today I want to ask each and every person here, as you see here, and you were real close, Steve, what are you doing for Yahweh? You know, but if we do it for the Son, we know we do it for the Father, so I guess both are very applicable. You know, the motivation for this message is very simple, to encourage all those listening to do more for the evangel, to do more for the kingdom of our Father in heaven. You know, I believe that time, it may be short, and collectively, as a body of believers, we have an opportunity to be a witness to the greatest message ever given to mankind. There's no message greater than that which we find through our Father Yahweh and through his Son and our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. Listen, through this message we have the hope of removing sickness and disease. We have the hope of ruling with the Messiah. And we have the hope of immortality with our Father in heaven in his kingdom. I think it's worth proclaiming. You know, as I said, time may be short. You know, we find this in Matthew 24, in Yahshua's Olivet prophecy. He says there, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, you, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near," speaking of Yahshua's return, "even at the door." Yahshua here uses a fig tree to illustrate his second coming. You know, as we can watch a tree sprout leaves, we know that summer is nigh. In the same way, we can look at the signs of our Savior, the signs that he left within his word, and we know that his coming is near. This passage is a part of the Olivet prophecy. It's found here in Matthew, also in Mark and Luke. It is perhaps the greatest single passage of prophecy we find within our Father's word. Within it, Yahshua provides those signs that will precede, that will occur immediately before his second coming. He speaks about deception. You know, we're seeing deception today. He speaks about wars, natural disasters. He speaks about signs in the heavens. You know, we're going to be talking about the blood moons in the next Discover the Truth Talk Live. The more I look at that, I believe that there may be something to it. He speaks about a proliferation of sin. He speaks about false prophets and much, much more within this word. You know, it's possible that we might be witnessing many of the fulfillment, the prophecies within our own day and age. Now, why is this important, and how does it relate to us as believers? Well, listen, if we're seeing the fulfillment of these signs, it's possible, again, that time may be very short, and we may have only a very small, abbreviated time to witness, to help others understand the good news of our Father's kingdom. For this reason, today is not the time to be stagnant. It's not the time to take a back seat with Yahweh's word. It's time to be active, to do something, to get off the couch, to be a witness, not only here in the ministry, but everybody worshiping and praising Yahweh. We should be doing our part. And again, that's the message, that's the motivation with this message. You know, my humble opinion, now is not the time to do nothing. Now is the time to do more than we've ever done before. Because again, now is the time before, I believe, could very possibly be before our Savior's coming. You know, Paul speaks about this in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master Yahshua Messiah, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind." In other words, we're to be bold as believers. We're to be strong. We're to be troubled. You know, we know bad things are coming, and we know that it's going to be hard. Or Paul says here, don't be troubled. Don't let it worry you. Be strong. It says, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Messiah is at hand. Now, I realize that this was spoken to some 2,000 years ago. But the fact is, every day that goes by brings us that much closer to the coming of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. And again, I believe that as we've seen and as we can see through Yahshua's Olivet prophecy, that many of the signs we find within the Word are coming to pass. Again, whether that's the deception we're seeing in nominal worship within the world, whether that's the wars that we're seeing in the Middle East, whether that's the immorality that we continue to see on the rise today. We are seeing many of the... Let me give you some examples. Where, you know, this nation, along with Europe, is in dire financial straits. Our debt is astronomical. And there's no signs of that decreasing. There's only signs of that increasing at a rapid rate. Or, you know, Scripture talks about debt being a curse. And I believe right now we are financially cursed as a nation. We owe many billions, trillions of dollars to other nations. We are in debt to other nations. One of the greatest nations ever, this nation here, we've allowed ourselves to take on debt. And now we are a slave to that lender. And we continue to see chaos in the Middle East. You know, I don't know how much of you are watching what's happening in Syria, but it's horrible. I mean, the death count, the children that are suffering, the people that are being displaced, the refugees, the people that have lost their homes through this conflict. I don't believe that we can even fathom the atrocities that's been committed in this nation. I will be talking about that also in the next Discover the Truth Talk Live. But it's a horrible thing we're seeing. I know the news don't report on it. We don't see many images. But if you ever look into this, you're going to see the horrible situation that these people are facing. And, of course, we have always the threat of a nuclear Iran. Well, you know, one of the worst things and most alarming is radical Islam. You know, we're seeing an increase in radical Islam today and a decrease in Christianity. We referred to this here just a few months ago, but according to an Archbishop of Canterbury, he's no longer, but he said that within a generation, if things don't change in Europe and Britain, that Christianity could literally become extinct. Can you fathom such a scenario? Christianity, the faith today based on the Bible, being extinct within a nation. According to him, this could happen if things don't drastically change. You know, while traditional marriage is quickly eroding, we're seeing a rise in homosexual marriage. I think here I saw in the news, I think it was Michigan, I think the federal judge stated that their ban on homosexual marriage was unconstitutional. And I'm sure glad that they can make these judgments, that they can deem these laws that really is nothing more than an abomination, unconstitutional, that the laws that would prevent gay marriage, of course. Another trend, fewer people than ever before in this world believe in a creator. I saw this statistic recently, and it's just alarming, that fewer and fewer of this generation, I think they call it Generation X now, believes in a creator. More agnostic, atheist. You know, listen, the concept of biblical morality is dying within this world. It's dying within this nation. It's dying within Europe. You know, in Scripture we find that Yahweh allows a nation to go so far, to sink so far into apostasy before he brings down his judgment. We saw this with Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw this with Judah and Israel. We know that Yahweh allowed the nation of Israel to continue for so long, and he said, enough is enough, and he brought down his judgment. And the same for Judah. He allowed them to continue for about 100 more years, and they had their day, and they were taken into bondage because of their sin, because they refused to conform to the word and to the message of our Father in heaven. We know we're in the same situation today in this nation. Some people say that we still have many of the tenets and the values. I don't believe we do. I believe that we are losing the majority of the morality that we once had in this nation. And good people are saying nothing. And Yahweh's people are not witnessing as they should, in my opinion. And again, the motivation for this message, we need to get off the couch. We need to become more active. We need to speak Yahweh's word and witness his truth. If not we, who? Who's going to do it? Who's going to witness Yahweh's truth if we do not have the gumption and the zeal, the passion to do this? You know, how much time will Yahweh allow before he brings his judgment down on this world? I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, again, I believe that time may be very short. And I don't believe that time now is the time to be asleep. It's not the time to be negligent. It's not the time to do nothing. Now is the time to be active. You know, for this reason, I ask, what are we doing for our Father in heaven? What are we doing to further his work? You know, since working for the ministry, I believe that I've developed a greater sense of urgency to get the word out, to be a witness, to see people come to the word and to the truth of our Father in heaven. You know, one thing that has come to my mind is how much we could achieve if only we were all willing to do something, if we were all willing to take a part, to be active, to be productive, to do something to get the word out and not leave it to three or four people in a ministry to do all the work. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, we find that Yahshua said that the laborers would be few, and indeed that's the case today. Luke chapter 10, verse 2, it says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore, the owner of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. You know, I witness every day the words Yahshua spoke here. Number one, the harvest is great. There are so many people out there, good people, sincere people, with a love for Almighty Yahweh, but no clue as to what he says within his word. You know, we get calls from people, they see the program or they get a piece of literature, and they say it's changed their lives, and they loved Yahweh before. They had a desire and a zeal for our Father in heaven prior to that information. But now they're coming to the truth, and they're so thankful for that truth. You know, nothing brings a smile to me faster than talking to somebody on the phone and hearing testimony how this ministry or others like it have literally changed their lives. I want to read part of a letter. We received this letter from a man, oh, here recently, a few weeks ago, I guess. And here's what he says. I'll just read part of it. He says, I recently received my Restoration Study Bible, and I'm well pleased with the entire Bible. In the past years, I've bought Bibles for up to $90. However, they were Trinity-based, and when I got the RSB, I gave my $90 Bible away. Thanks for that, because a tremendous effect this RSB has had on my life. I am 62 years old and very grateful that Yahweh has finally drawn me into the true relationship I've sought for since my first encounter with him. As the Trinity, or it says, and with, you know, Jesus, it says, as the Trinity calls him. I was 18 years old, then in Sweden, and Army pension, reading a small Psalms, a New Testament pocket Bible the Army gave me. It's then in Sweden where I began to seek truth. Only then I thought I had found it. I thought I had got saved. Little did I know the full truth would be revealed to me 44 years later. And he goes on and says many other things. And a great, wonderful letter brought me a lot of encouragement to read that. But here this man, he took him 44 years to discover the truth that we all understand today. And you know, I think too, we often take that for granted. We don't realize what Yahweh has given each and every one of us. People, they search their entire lives for some of the truth that we understand here. Well, you know what's amazing about this, though, is that this man's story is not all that unique. There are so many others like this man searching for the truth today. Again, they love Yahweh. They want to serve him. They want to do what's right. They just simply don't know what that is. And when they find it, it's like finding, as Scripture says, a pearl of great price. Finding a truth that is worth more than anything on earth. And you can see with this man's letter that he believes this. Nothing means more to him than doing and serving Almighty Yahweh, as he says within his word. Well, number two, we find here that laborers are few. You know, I can relate to this one too. Even though we do as much as we can at this ministry, here's the reality of the situation. We're not even able to reach a fraction of the potential. We're not able to even reach a fraction of those searching and looking and striving to understand the truth. You know, we have such a desire to get the word out there, but I know we're not even reaching a small portion of those searching. And I know there's others out there doing what we're doing. And I praise Yahweh that there's many others teaching Yahweh's word. But again, even with all that, we're still only reaching a fraction, a small percentage of the possibility. This is why it's important that we all do our part. And I know sometimes we feel that there's not much we can do individually, that as a person, there's not a whole lot we can accomplish. But listen, if we all did something, if we were all active doing something, I believe that we can make a major impact. You know, think about Yahshua and the apostles. What did they have? Well, they had no internet. They had no TV. They had no printing press. They had no radio. But yet, these men, as few as they were, they changed the world. They changed the world for you and I. I believe that you and I, we have this same opportunity today. But listen, if nothing is done, nothing will happen. You know, as some of you may know, here's some information on it. We've recently introduced a new outreach program. This program allows both men and women to partner with the ministry to help others understand Yahweh's truth. And look, this is only for those regional people, those people outside of this ministry. I'd like to see some of you do this as well, as I like to see some of the local members here make an effort to become outreach partners, to share the truth with those here locally in the mid-Missouri area. You know, right now we have about 30 outreach partners, I believe it is. Is that right, Joel? About 30. Well, I'd like to see hundreds more. I'd like to see this thing grow much more than what it is now. You know, I'm proud and respect very much the efforts that our outreach partners are making. I know that they're all making a difference. I'd like to share with you a story, just a quick story from two of them. One is a retired brother in Canada. I found out here recently that he will set up a booth at the mall, and he will literally hand out literature and answer questions. You know, this requires some gumption, but you know, he's making a difference. This man is making it because he is being proactive. He is putting himself out there. He is doing something with the knowledge that Yahweh has given him. Actually, according to this brother, one of the biggest challenges is explaining the difference between us and the JWs. I guess he assumed that we're JWs. But nonetheless, he's making an impact. He's making a difference. We have another sister in Pennsylvania. This sister's very quiet. Doesn't say a whole lot, at least to me. But like this other brother, she goes to the mall and she hands out booklets. And as I understand it, she handed out Christmas booklets during Christmas time. I'm sure that went over well. But, you know, nothing stops her, and nothing stops this other brother. And they are an inspiration to me. And again, I believe that their efforts show a lot of dedication, a lot of devotion. And I'd like to see that from us here. I'd like to see that from those listening abroad. I know that we can do more than what we're doing now.
I know that the potential is huge, but we got to do something. We got to do something. We got to put it out there. You know, I know we're making a difference. Let me give you a statistic. 14% of all our requests are from family, friends. What that means is 14% of all requests that come into this ministry was generated by a family or friend. What that means is people were talking to someone else, an unbeliever, or someone who had no knowledge of the faith, and they requested something from us. 14%, that's a big number. You see, whether we're official in the ministry or not, we can all make a difference, each one of us. Through the effort of one, not much can be done, but through the efforts of many, great things can happen. And I believe that. I believe that if we're all more devoted, we're all more dedicated, we're all more willing to step up, that I know we could accomplish great things, and I know Yahweh's word would go out even greater than what it is now. Well, I'd like to encourage you today to consider becoming part of an outreach partner here locally, and also those listening to this message, consider it. I think it'd be a blessing not only to you, but I know a blessing to our Father's truth. You know, the fact is, we all have gifts. Yahweh has given us all gifts to share. He's given us an ability to share and to communicate Yahweh's word. We find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read this from the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is from the Apostle Paul. An important passage that we understand this. Starting verse 1, we're going to read down to verse 12. It says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, he wants you to understand this. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into those dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of Yahweh calleth Yahshua accursed, and that no man can say that Yahshua is a Messiah but by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities, or different, of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of administrations, but the same Master. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same Elohim, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, we're going to come back to that. It's an important verse. I want you to notice that, though, withal, everybody, not just one. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these works that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severely as it will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and are the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Messiah. So in this passage, Paul speaks about the gifts of our Father's Spirit. He says that there are diversities, that there are different gifts, but he says that they are all by the same Spirit. In other words, not everybody shares the same gift, but those gifts are all given from the same source. And that is, again, our Father's Holy Spirit. Paul here provides some examples. He mentions the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, healing, miracles, discernment, and tongues or languages. The Bible also speaks about other gifts like giving, you know, being charitable, and other gifts that we find in Romans 12, for instance. Again, all these gifts are received through the working of our Father's Holy Spirit. Now, I want to focus on what Paul says in verse 7 one more time. It says, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The NIV reads, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good, not just one. You see, Yahweh's gifts are not to be used to profit us individually. They are given to profit the body of Messiah. They are given to profit his truth. They are given so that we can further his work. That is a reason our Father in heaven has given us these gifts. It is not for selfish gain. It is to give to others, to profit withal, as it says, for the common good. This is why it's important that we look for opportunities to help with our Father's truth. You know, sometimes witnessing his word isn't easy. For many of us, it takes us out of our comfort zone. But, you know, putting ourselves out there is worth the effort. Whatever the cost is worth the effort. You know, I say whatever, whatever the trials, whatever the tribulation, it's worth the destination. It's worth the end. No matter what we go through, no matter what trials we suffer, no matter what tribulations we go through, it's worth the destination. You know, sometimes we have to do things we don't always want to do for the kingdom's sake, but it's worth the destination. It's worth the end result. Again, I believe that many indications show that time may be very short. And I don't think today is a time to be negligent or to be sitting, doing nothing. Now is a time that we get off the couch. Now is a time that we look for opportunities in which we can be active with our Father's word. Matter of fact, Joshua, Matthew 25, verse 14, provides a valuable lesson. When we forgo using these gifts, when we neglect the calling that he's given us, Matthew 25, and again, we're going to have to read this from the scripture. Matthew 25. And we're going to start here with verse 14. Verse 14, it says here, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. And every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants cometh and reckons with them." Now keep in mind that this is a parable of Yahshua's coming and the gifts or the punishment that we will receive based on what we have done, based on how we lived, based on how we used our talents and our gifts. Verse 20, "And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Master, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more." He used his time productively, wisely, efficiently. His master said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master." So we find here the reward that this man received for his faithfulness, for his willingness to seek out more talents. Verse 22, "He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Master, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His master said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy master." So we find here that this man also was blessed because he was faithful with those 2 talents. He was faithful with that which Yahweh delivered unto him. Now we don't find the same moving on. Verse 24, "Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Master, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, that there thou hast that is thine. So I gave him his coin back, his 1 talent. He did nothing with it. He buried it. Nothing productive came from that talent, from that gift, from that which his master entrusted him. So what was the result? What was the impact? He says, "Thou oughtest us therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest." He says, look, the least you could have done is taken that talent and placed that talent in a bank so that it could have gained interest or usury. You didn't do that. You did nothing at all. You took what I gave you and you did nothing. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast you the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Now the word talent here refers to a sum of money. Where in this parable, Yahshua uses this to illustrate what happens when we neglect to use our gift, to use a talent, to use what he has given us. In this parable, we find 3 men, one who received 5 talents, another who received 2 talents, and a remaining who received 1 talent. Now, the 2 men who received the 5 and 2 talents, what happened? We find in the parable that they doubled their talents. They were productive. They were active. And as a result, they received blessings. They received inheritance. But what about the one man who received the single talent? Or in fear of his master, we find here that he buried his talent. He decided that he would do nothing with his talent. And as a result, when his master returned, he lost everything. Not only did he not reap a reward, not only did he not reap a blessing, but he lost that which was given. You know, listen, the same will happen to you and us if we don't use our talent. If we do nothing, if we sit on our hands, if we're stagnant in our spiritual growth in witnessing the truth of our Father in heaven, the same result will happen to you and I. That is a fact. We find here, again, the blessings and the curse of those who use and those who neglect. You know, I realize that not everybody shares the same talent. I realize that some people are better equipped than others when it comes to witnessing the word. But listen, I believe that we all have the capability within us to witness the truth in one form or another. I believe that we can all make a difference if we put the effort forth. I don't believe that there's one person here or listening that has no ability to witness the word and the truth of our Father in heaven. And I will say that it is incumbent upon us today to do so. It is incumbent upon us today to witness the truth of our Father in heaven. You know, maybe you're an introvert. Maybe you have a hard time witnessing the truth of our Father in heaven. Or even you can do something. I know it. I know you can do something. You know, maybe you can take out an ad in the newspaper. Or maybe you can go to a library and ask if you can drop off a few booklets. Or some other public place. There's always something we can do. We need to make the time to do it. We need to make the time to witness and to be an advocate for our Father in heaven. You know, if I didn't believe time was short, if I didn't believe that this was necessary, if I didn't believe that this was something that our Father in heaven would want, I would not be saying it today, but I believe it is. I believe time may be short. I believe that this is something Yahweh would want, and I believe that this is an obligation each one of us shares within the faith. You don't have to be an ordained minister to witness the word of our Father in heaven. You just need to be active and do it. You need to be active and willing to witness, like that brother in Canada or that sister in Pennsylvania, to go to the mall or go to some sort of place and hand out booklets. Do you know the truth of our Father in heaven? They do it. And I think they would agree with me. There's nothing special about them besides their devotion, besides their willingness to do it, besides their conviction. But that's what we need. We need a willingness. We need a conviction. We need to say we're going to put our own personal stuff to the side, and we're going to start witnessing and being an advocate and looking for those opportunities where we can help witness and further the truth and the word of our Father in heaven. I know that if we did this, I know that we can make a difference. I know that. I know that we can make a big difference, because I can see the fruit of some of those few that are working and witnessing Yahweh's truth today. Like those 30 members of our outreach partners, they are making a difference. Through their efforts, many people are coming to the knowledge. And you know, we know what Scripture says about one sinner that repents. But the last thing we want to do is nothing. Because when we do nothing, we will receive nothing, as we find here in this parable. If we take that talent, or those two talents, or five talents, or how many of our talents we've been given as a person and as a believer, and we bury those talents by doing nothing, the end result is not going to be good. You know, it's not complicated. We reap what we sow, Scripture says. And I believe that also applies to witnessing and being an advocate to His word. So I want us to think about for just a moment, how are we using our gifts? How are we using our talents? Are we using Yahweh's word in a productive way? Are we putting ourselves out there? Are we looking for opportunities to say, how can I further the work of my Father in heaven? How can I do more for Him? How can I serve Him? Are we using the talents that our Father has given us to further His truth? Or are we allowing laziness, fear, or maybe your own personal hobbies? You know, many of us, we get so caught up into things, everyday life, and we let those things come before our Father in heaven. And you know, the end of day, I think when we look back near the end, we're not going to say, you know, I'm sure glad I spent X number of hours in the gym or visiting the neighbor or playing board games or whatever it was, versus I spent time witnessing Yahweh's truth. And I know that because of my efforts, many are in the faith today and have an understanding that they did not have. The sad reality is the majority of us could do much more than what we're doing today. You know, when was the last time you took the opportunity to speak with someone, to witness to them with Yahweh's word? When was the last time? Do you remember the last time you actively sought out to witness the truth of your Father? It's not enough to simply come here or simply go on the internet to watch the service every week. We must do more. We must be more active. When was the last time you gave out a booklet, hoping that that booklet, that information would take root and change the life of a person? And again, I believe that we can all have a small part in witnessing the truth. You know, the fact is, one of the greatest things we can do is to help someone come to the knowledge of our Father's word. James chapter 5, verse 20 speaks about this. It says there in chapter 5, verse 20, let him know that he which converts the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, what does James mean here when he says he shall hide a multitude of sins? Is he referring to the believer or to the person, to the sinner that converted? Or even though it seems to refer to the believer, I do believe that this refers to the sinner, to the person who converted. When the sinner repents, followed, of course, with baptism and repentance in Yahshua's name, we know scripturally that their sins are purged and cleansed. Now think about the impact of that action and the opportunity that we have as believers to save a person from their sin, to see a multitude of sins blotted out. Through our actions, through our witness, we can watch someone come to the faith, learn of Yahweh, and through their conviction and Yahweh's Spirit moving, see them repent, see them come to, through the waters of baptism, and see those sins washed away in a clean person, a new person, a Messiah, a new creature. What a blessing. You know, there's nothing greater in this life. You can look at many, many things, and there's nothing that offers a greater sense of satisfaction than seeing someone come to the truth and knowing that you were part of that. You know, I often believe that we undervalue the impact we can make as believers. We say, but we're just one person. It's not going to matter. You know, the ministry's doing the work. Or I disagree. I think it does matter. And I think we all can make a difference. And we can all make a... You know, Alan's father, for instance, he heard another sacred name minister on the radio preaching many years ago. And it was only by that one man that changed his life, and therefore changed Alan's life, changed my life, and he's changed hundreds and thousands of lives, but it began by one person. One person can make a difference. I know we can do this. I know that Yahweh's truth and his word can go out like nothing that we've seen before. And you know, it is greater than any position, any wealth, any prestige that we can achieve in this life. Another way we can make a difference is through tithing. We often don't talk about this, as Brother Michael pointed out this morning in the Bible study. Today we're going to talk about tithing just for a few moments, the command of tithing, and more importantly, the benefit of tithing, because I really don't believe people understand the blessing, not only that they receive, but also that the ministry and those who hear the word receives. In Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10, the priesthood fell apart, and Yahweh's house was forsaken, Scripture says. And the priests, they had to go find other employment because people were not paying their tithe, as Scripture says. But here's what it says, Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10 through 12. It says, "And I perceived that the portions of the Levites had not been given them. For the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Then contended I with the rulers and said, why is the house of Elohim forsaken?" Now, Nehemiah, he wasn't real happy at this point. He saw the abuse and the neglect and the consequences of that. So what did he do? He says, "I gathered them together and sat them before their place, then brought all Judah the tithe of the corn and the new wine and the oil unto the treasuries." So what do we find here? Or again, we find that because of Israel's neglect, the priesthood was in shambles. They forsook Yahweh's house, and they sought other occupation because they had to live. They had to eat. So they went back working in the fields. And again, the house of Yahweh sat empty. Nothing was being done because people were not doing what Yahweh commanded them to do within his word. You know, here's the reality of what happens when we as believers forsake the tithe. Our Father's work goes undone. You know, if everyone listening to this message and everybody here simply tithed as Yahweh commands within his word, we could even do greater things at this ministry. There's no telling what we could do if everybody gave as Yahweh commands within his word. Now, I know that some people may believe that we're only trying to fill our own pockets, and that's fine, but listen, here's the truth. I can assure you that the only thing we want to do here at this ministry is to get the word out. We have such a strong desire to preach the truth, to help others understand that word, to look and use every facet available to further the truth. I don't know how many internet sites we leverage, but many. Everything from YouTube to Twitter. Whatever works, whatever we can use to get the truth out. But you know, here's another fact. This is not without expense. Doing Yahweh's work, preaching the truth, being a witness, having an organization, having a ministry is not free. It is not without expense. Let me give you an example You know, we give out our literature and our DVDs free of charge. We charge nothing. Now, we do certainly ask those who want to donate, they can donate and help. But like other ministries, we don't charge. We don't require payment for our DVDs, for our literature. Well, last year, we spent over $50,000 simply in postage. This doesn't include paper or ink or the printing cost or DVDs themselves or labor. $50,000 just in postage. And believe me, most people don't support and they don't give in response. Now, some do, and it's always only a small minority that actually supports a ministry like ours and many others. That's the fact. But listen, the last thing this ministry is interested in doing is making a profit. We want to get the word out. We want to get Yahweh's truth out. We want to be a witness to the world. And if Yahweh's house goes to ruin because we are unwilling to give what belongs to him through the tithe, the work will not go out. If you've not already done so, I would encourage you to consider tithing, to look into it, study it. I know a lot of people right now, they're hurting financially. But you know, as believers, we must be willing to make a sacrifice for the one we worship. I believe that. You know, I can give you an example from my own life. I'll spare a lot of the details, but I was out on my own for the first time, about 18 years old. And I wanted to do it all on my own. I had a job making about $7 an hour. I was tithing. I was saving my second tithe because I knew otherwise I would not be able to come to the feast. And I was living on mainly beans and rice and any other very inexpensive items. It was hard. But I knew that tithing was the right thing to do. And I knew that attending the feast was the right thing to do. And I knew that this is and still is the will of our Father in heaven. So I made sure that I had my 10% set aside for tithe and I had my other 10% set aside for the feast. Because this is what Yahweh would want from all of us. Not only does tithing give us an opportunity to show our gratitude, but it also offers a blessing to those who benefit from the tithe. Again, I can read this letter one more time about this man, 44 years looking for the faith. And one program from this ministry changed his life after 44 years of searching for the truth. And it's because of the tithe and the offerings that you all give and others give that makes this possible. Because without it, nothing would be done. In Mark chapter 14, verse 41, I'm going to close with this. We find a widow that literally gave all for the kingdom of heaven. Mark chapter 12, chapter 12, verse 41. It says, Yahshua set over against the treasury, behold, now the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, verily I say, this is basically something like saying truly. You know, this is the reality of the situation is maybe what I would say there. Verily I say unto you, he's making a point here, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she ever want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. We find 2 great lessons here, I believe. Number one, when we give, it's not the amount, it's the sacrifice that counts. You know, these people, they were giving these large fortunes. And Yahshua saw this poor little lady throwing 2 coins. And he said she did more than they. And number two, we must be willing to give all for our Father in heaven. Now, I'm not saying you need to deplete your savings for the ministry. But we need to sacrifice. We need to do what Yahweh says to do. We need to give what Yahweh says to give. If you want to see this work go out, if you care about the faith, if you care about the message, if you care about salvation, you will do as Yahweh says within his word. And that is you will give so that others may hear and understand the truth that we have today. Well, let me ask again, what are we doing for Yahweh? What are we doing for him today? Are we helping others by being active with witnessing and supporting his truth? And as I said, I believe that time may be very short. The window of opportunity may be very short. What are we doing with it? Are we wasting it? Or are we being active? Are we, again, embracing it? If we stand before Yahshua the Messiah and he asks, what did you do for my father's work? How would we reply? What would we say? If we're standing before Yahshua right now and he asks, what did you do for me? What did you do for my father? How would we respond? Would we be able to say we did everything we could? We support it in every which way possible? Or would we simply stand there speechless, not knowing what to say, because deep down we know that we could have done more? Well, I hope that that doesn't happen. I hope that if we're ever standing before Yahshua, we can say that we did everything we could, that we were an active witness, that we supported your work, that we tithed to your father commands. Well, I'd like to encourage everybody listening to seriously consider the words that I've said today, that's been spoken. What I say in all sincerity, is time that we as his people, that we are more active, that we do more. We all have gifts, we all have talents, we all have, I believe, the ability to be more of a witness than what we have been. And I pray that we would embrace that and again look for those opportunities. I pray that this message will motivate us to become a greater witness and support our Father in heaven in every which way he commands within his word. You know, Yahweh's calling out a select few to be a light to this world. Well, let us our light shine brightly. May Yahweh bless you.